ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Idea is expressed in Suta Goswami's prayers to Shukadev Goswami when he describes that Shukadev Goswami is Sangsarinam Karunaya, very merciful to the Sangsari. Sangsari means everyone in this material world is Sangsari in one sense, because Sangsari means who is within the Sangsara, who is within the cycle of birth and death. But one who takes sannyas is supposed to be jivan mukta. He's supposed to be liberated in this life. It's supposed that by taking sannyas, one will not take birth again in this material world. Whereas, if one remains attached to household life, then he will take birth again in this material world. Therefore, generally, samsari, when we say samsari, it means household. I don't know, I'm not familiar in Hindi or Gujarati, but in Bengali sometimes they refer, I must be in Hindi also, that they refer to my home as my, this is my samsara. And they say in Hindi also, this is my place of preparing for the next round of 84 lakh species. That's what material life, human life, if not used in Krishna consciousness, means preparing, very busily preparing, just like someone's, I'm getting ready for my exam. So you're getting ready for your exam, what will be the result when you pass your exam? Well, the result of passing through this human life will be, I will take birth as a cat, a dog, a frog, a crocodile, and so many different species, and then eventually come to the human form of life again. This is samsara. So those who are simply samsari, those who have no higher purpose in life, they are described here by Nanda Maharaj as dina chetasa. Prabhupada has very kindly, this time he didn't whip, he said simple-minded, being engaged in family maintenance and nothing more. But actually dina means fallen, very low. Dina chetasam, one who is only concerned with roti kapra makan. This is simply food, clothing and shelter. One who is only interested in these things, he's in very low consciousness. Whereas Garga Muni, being a tyagi, he's a family priest, he acts as a family priest, but he's not a family man himself. Generally, the family priests, they themselves will be family men. That's what we see in modern culture. But here, we see at this time that Garga Muni, he was the priest of the Yadu dynasty. He was engaged in priestly activities. But he was himself a renunciate. Not only a renunciate, a great devotee of Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, he's describing, you're very kindly come to our home, you're to uplift us. You've come to uplift us. Of course, Nanda Maharaj, even though he's in household life, he's not to be uplifted, because he's an even greater pure devotee than Garga Muni. He's considering himself as fallen. But actually he's among, of course, pure devotees, it's not for us we're really dina, we're really low and fallen. So it's not for us to compare. But sometimes let's compare, just like it said that Radharani is the most confidential devotee of Krishna. It's also said that many devotees are described as the most confidential. We say that Sakshad Dharidvena Samasta Shastra Uktastata Bhavyata Evasati Kinta Bhavaya Priya Evatasa Andegaro Shri Charanaranda. We offer our respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. He is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servitor of the Supreme Lord. He's as good as. So how is it the spiritual master is the most confidential servitor, and Radharani is the most confidential servitor? Uddhava is sometimes described as the most confidential. So how can they all be the most confidential? Because most means there's only one most. But that's possible. for Krishna. They can all be the most confidential. In other words, the point is being made that they're all very, very close to Krishna. They're all, just like Krishna says, this sadhava hridayo mahyam sadhunam hridayam tuham maramyatte na jananti naham tebhyo manadapi. In relation to the Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Vishnu, Lord Vishnu said to Durvasa Muni that the devotees, they're in my heart and I'm in their heart. We're inseparable. So they don't know anything but me and I don't know anything but them. It's inseparable. Just like you have these Siamese twins. They're born, two twins. Their bodies are joined together. So you have to separate them at birth. Otherwise, later on, they become literally inseparable. Literally. Sometimes that word is misused. My stomach was literally bursting. That would mean that actually, yeah, it's all bursting all over the floor. So, but literally inseparable. So Krishna and his pure devotees, they are literally inseparable. Means that they cannot be separated at any time. Even though there may appear to be separation, Krishna left Vrindavan, but he didn't leave Vrindavan. It's not possible for Krishna to leave Vrindavan because he's within the hearts of the Vrajavasins. That Krishna Kanamrita, Bilvamangal Thakur, he was saying to Krishna that Krishna would come and play with him, and little boy, and Bilvamangal was an old man, very old. He lived for several hundred years. And he was blind also, self-blinded. So Krishna would sometimes play, he would bring him milk every day and come to him. Then again he would run away. But Bilvamangal would say, you can run away from my hand so I can't grab you, but you can't run away from my heart because I captured you there in my heart. So anyone who has that relationship with Krishna, that they're inseparable, heart to heart, Krishna says, I don't know anyone but my devotee. My devotees don't know anyone but me. Then surely they're the most confidential. Now, generally, you see, in material consciousness, we also have our friends and lovers. And so we may be very close to someone. But on the material platform, you can't become close to many people. You can't have many relationships. Isn't it? You can only be, it said you can only have one or maybe two very close friends. That's on the material platform. You can't be very close to many people. That's one defect of modern life. That we have so many in the city, you get to know so many people, and then with telephones and email, you make so many relationships. So if there are many, many relationships, it's generally understood there can't be very close relationships. That's why in the city it's very impersonal. People meet each other, but they don't really want to get close to each other. There's too much. You can't handle being close to too many people. It's more than your capacity. But Krishna, he can have very close, extremely close, more close than we can imagine relationship with an unlimited number of living beings, because he is unlimited in all respects. So Krishna can have many most confidential servitors. And of course, within most confidential, you see, just like we have in Sanskrit, we say priya, priyatara, priyataram means dear, more dear, most dear. So there's, when you say priya, someone is dear to Krishna, Krishna priya, Krishna priya is the name for Radharani, it means she's very dear to Krishna. So being very dear, if you're dear to Krishna, then you can imagine it's a very close relationship. Then there's more dear, priyatara, priyatara, female. And priyataram, most dear. Radharani's one name is Krishna Pran Adhika. means more dear to Krishna than his own life. So that's Radharani, most dear. But then other devotees, Krishna wants them all. He doesn't reject any. He wants to have a close relationship with every living being. That's described, a very nice story is there, given by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatam. He was going to all the different planets in the universe, then he went into the coverings of the universe, then he went beyond the universe, he went into the different spiritual planets, and eventually reached Golok Vrindavan. There he saw Krishna herding the cowherd, herding the cows with all the cowherd boys. He saw Krishna and Krishna saw him. And Krishna fainted. And all the residents of Vrindavan said, "Who is this person? And he just came and made Krishna faint. What kind of person is this? What's it?" So they revived. Krishna said, "Actually, he's so dear to me. He's gone away for such a long time. He came back." So, see, even though Krishna has so many devotees, unlimited, you can't even count the number of Krishna's cows, or to speak of the cowherd boys. He has an unlimited number of devotees, but he feels every living being very, very dear to him. So it's not that, well, one devotee is very, very dear, and so forget all the rest. In this material world, it may be, I love you only, so to hell with everyone else. Me and mine, I, me and mine, just like John Lennon's conception of reality. I don't believe in Hitler, I don't believe the I Ching, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe in Krishna, I just believe in me, Yoko and me. His wife's name was Yoko Ono. She still had her first husband. And she married him also. That was the deal. So Yoko and me, that's reality. I don't believe in anything else. Me and my wife. This is reality. Great philosopher, John Lennon. They were accepted as great philosophers. John Lennon, because he wrote songs just like, wonderful songs like, "Give Peace a Chance." "I Love You," "She Loves You," "Yeah, Yeah, Yeah." And other great philosophical songs. Imagine, what's that other song he wrote? "Imagine a world in which there's no religion." That was one of his, he made a song, famous song, describing the ideal world. One of the things, and no religion too. No religion. So, according to John Lennon, reality is me and Yoko and no religion. And of course there should be plenty of needles with heroin to shoot up, because That was part of his reality also. And he came face to face with a bullet. Anyway, that's one fool. So his idea is that reality is just me and my wife. Didn't mention his son. But Krishna, he is reality. Reality is Krishna. So within Krishna, the reality means also all living beings. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, and all living beings are parts and parcels of Krishna. So they're all very dear to Krishna. They're all part of Krishna. So all living beings are dear to Krishna. It's not that I only want Radha and not the cows, or another idea. Sometimes they say, well, we're not interested in Dwarka Leela. We're not interested in Rukmini or Satyabhama. Well, Krishna's interested. You can say, well, we only like Vrindavan Leela. Well, Krishna himself, he also likes Dwarka Leela. I mean, he did go there. He does have his ears name. He's not only Radha Rama. He's also Rukmini Rama. So you may think, I'm more elevated. I only like Raja Leela. So you became more elevated than Krishna. Very good, sir. Because Krishna himself likes Vrajalila, he likes Dwarka Lila also. So these are all misunderstandings. So you may think, well, I'm a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, I'm not interested in Ram, or any, you know, that's too low class for me, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's also, you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ram Nomi, he dresses up as Hanuman and performs Ram Lila. So don't be a better transcendentalist than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But all the devotees are very dear to him, and all the forms of Krishna are very dear to him. So this is expanded consciousness. Krishna's consciousness is the most expanded consciousness is that of Krishna, because he can accommodate within his consciousness so many most confidential, most dear devotees. But in material life, we only keep very few dear to us, those who can give us sense gratification. Just like we're saying, you may only have one or two friends, real friends, in material consciousness. Of course, even a limited living being, if they become Krishna conscious, then Krishna conscious means expanded consciousness. So you can have dear relationships with many, many living beings. Your ability to have friends increases, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Actually, in material life, there is no real friendship. Real friendship is in Krishna consciousness. So the quality of your friendship increases, and you can also have many devotees. You can have friendship with many devotees. Even if you don't, I know some devotees, I hardly see them, you know, maybe once a year or less even. But we're close, because that's the nature of Krishna conscious relationships. It doesn't become diminished in course of time. It increases. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Everything increases in Krishna consciousness. But in material life, you can only accommodate maybe one or two close friends. Maybe you're only very close to one or two people. It's said in material life that if you are a friend from childhood, that's often a very good friend, because your friends, just because you're friends, that's all. But later on, all your friends, it's all the friends you get later, it's just on some kind of mutual back scratching, that's all. What can I get from you? What you can get from me. Sometimes it's seen that someone, they suddenly become rich. They win the lottery or something like this. And all of a sudden, they don't want to know their friends anymore. There was one case, I saw it in the newspaper in England. A Pakistani family, means joint family. And then one young son, he won the lottery. Some million pounds or something like that. That's a lot of money, even in anyone's terms. So what did he do? He left the home. No longer. They were all thinking, oh great, we won the lottery. Because it's like the Pandavas. Whatever they get, they share. Even Draupadi. They had to share it between them. Her between them. But he thought, to hell with all of you. I won the lottery. I won. It's my ticket. It's not all of yours. That's, as you were saying about friends from childhood, but there's the difference between, you see, Drupada is how the whole, one of the major themes of Mahabharata, Drupada and Drona. Together as children, they were studying together, they were friends. Then Drupada became king, and Drona went to him, he's a poor Brahmin, and said, hello, I'm your friend. You're not my friend. Come on, you're just a beggar. I'm a king. We can't be friends. Get out of here. So that was one of the main themes of the Mahabharata, how Drona was burning, and eventually he wanted to get Drupada killed. It was quite complex, so he got trained up the Pandavas so they could kill Drupada, but then their principal wife was the daughter of Drupada, named Draupadi. So this is material life. You can never trust anyone, even your best friend. In material life, you can't even trust your best friend, not even your father or mother. Not necessary, you see. So many mothers, they're killing their children. It's a common thing. Normal. Even one professor in Harvard University, the most, is it the most prestigious? How does it rate with Oxford and Cambridge? Anyway, it's up there. Everyone knows. It's probably surpassed Oxford and Cambridge because it's in America. So Harvard University professor is publicly proposing that it should be allowed by law that the first month after a woman delivers the child, she can kill it. Not him or her, can kill it. Because, you know, it's like abortion. You know, if you don't want the child, just kill it, that's all. So you can decide. You have the baby for 1 month, and then within that time you can decide, well, did I really want this child or not? And if you don't want, you know, there's plenty of ways you can kill them humanely, just like we humanely kill millions of cows and billions of chickens every year. So you can humanely inject the child or whatever. And it'll be better, because if you don't want the child, and they'll grow up unwanted, and so better, you know, don't submit them to so much suffering, just kill them now. These things are being suggested. That's really Dinacita, sir. I mean, Nanda Maharaj, he wasn't going to do that. They couldn't imagine killing their children. So, in material life, you can't really trust anyone. In spiritual life, means who you can really trust is Krishna. Otherwise, you can't. Who are you going to trust? At least we can trust Krishna. And even if Krishna, trust Krishna means you don't know. By Krishna's grace, your whole life may be turned upside down, inside out, back to front also. That also happens. You can trust that ultimately Krishna will protect you, because he says, Sarvadhaman Taritaja, Mamekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tam Sarvapapi Bhyo, Mokshayashami Mashu Chaha. Krishna says, you surrender to me, you give yourself to me, and I'll look after you. This is our deal. I'll look after you. You haven't got much to give me, except your sinful reactions, which I will take away. But I will protect you. Don't worry, Krishna says. Krishna's promising. I will look after you. So Krishna's ready to do that. He's ready to protect us. That's sure. That's the best insurance, security. We hear so many people saying, I have to make sure of my security. Rest assured, there is no security in this material world. Whatever arrangements you make, everything will be destroyed. Whatever you do, everything will be destroyed in due course of time, and after not very much time also. But our real security is that if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will surely protect us. And even though we may have to pass through many obstacles, Chetasa Sarvadurgani Matprasadat Tarishasi, you may have to go through so many obstacles, but Krishna promises that by my grace you will cross over them. So Krishna is our best friend in all ways. Not only in quality, but in quantity. He can really help us. No one in this material world can actually help us. How can they help you? You have to die anyway. Materially, there's no real question of helping anybody on the material platform anyway. Because whatever help you give, that's only on the bodily platform. So you can't help it. If you help someone, that's only blowing on the boil. If you have a serious boil, it's painful. Blow on it. Well, the sensation of air moving on it may just slightly relieve the pain, but the fact is you have a boil. It's painful. So material life means repeated birth and death with concomitant miseries in between. So you can't really help anyone. Even if you help, it's just like if you have a boil and there's some fly comes and lands, you blow away the fly. Oh, you really helped me a lot, thanks a lot. So the fly was disturbing, but the real problem is the boil. So in the same way, someone may be suffering, you may alleviate their suffering, but their suffering has to continue. So who can really help us is Krishna. And who can help us also is who gives us knowledge of Krishna. That's spiritual friendship. If anyone gives us knowledge of Krishna. So this kind of helping Krishna can give, that's beyond anything anyone can give on the material platform. That's why a devotee, here said, he has no needs. A brahmachari, he has no needs. What does he need? He doesn't need anything. He can sleep anywhere. Whatever prasad is there, he can take it. He doesn't have any material needs, because he's satisfied in the service of Krishna. Of course, a householder, even Vaishnava householder, they have some needs, because they have to maintain a family. They're in that ashram. They have so many needs. When you enter the householder ashram, then your needs increase. That's why one name for women, there are so many different words. One name is stri. Stri means, it comes from the same root as vistar, means to expand. Ato, griha, kshetra, sutata, vitaya. From the bondage, stripum. When man and woman come together, then you need a home. You need some land. That's considered. You need some land. That's considered. Nowadays, people don't have land. They just live in an apartment with 200 other families, and they don't know their names of anyone. They don't have any land. But generally, it's considered if you have a home, you should have some land also, so you can produce some food and have some cows. Ato griha kshetra sutapta. Suta means suta and suta, sons and daughters. Relatives, friends, society. And vitta means some money. All these things are required. So one's needs expand when one enters family life. Therefore, it's generally considered that grihinam dina chetasam, because it's a lot of work to get all these things, and when you get them, to maintain them. And it takes up a lot of one's time and energy, and one tends to be absorbed in thoughts of griha, kshetra, suta, apta, vitaya. That land, home, money, wife, relatives, society, friendship and love. The Vaishnava poet Vidyapati has said this, suta mita ramani samaji. Means Prabhupada translated this as society, friendship and love. Suta mita means, suta means sons, mita, mitra, friends. Ramani means wife, and samaji, samaj, the society. So this is material life. So generally it's considered that grihinam dina chetasam, those during family life, it's involved in so many things like this. Therefore, those who are not samsaris, those who are mahat, they're considered great. Mahatma, one is considered mahatma when he has no other interest but to be Krishna conscious. But the mahatma, another symptom of his great consciousness is that he's not simply interested in cultivating his own self-realization, but he acts for the benefit of others by going to the homes of householders and benefiting them by giving some knowledge of Krishna. That's why it said the brahmanas, they use their tongue for Krishna. Not only by eating. Brahmana bhojan means you're supposed to invite some brahmana and feed them. But then in return, he's supposed to use his tongue for speaking some knowledge of Krishna. Not only things going in this way, but something should be coming out this way, some valuable knowledge. Now we take brahmana bhojan, means only bhojan. Sadhu ko khilao. Give him something to eat. You should, alright, eat, but you have to speak something about Krishna also. Of course, we also hear about great Vaishnava acharyas in the Vihasta ashram. The great example is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was Acharya in the Grihastha Ashram means he was very responsible in his material duties, but also prolific writer, preacher of Krishna consciousness. By his endeavors, he shifted the course of thinking about Krishna among the respectable people of his time. Great Acharya, how he is writing, no ordinary person can write like this. His songs, his books, definitely inspired from a transcendental platform. So he's an example of an Acharya in the Grihastha Ashram. Prabhupada sometimes white. Paramahamsas also wear white. So should be spotless, like a white swan, Paramahamsa. Sometimes he also said, because in the early days of the movement, the Grihasthas, young devotees, they didn't have children so much, they came later. So they're also fully engaged in preaching and all these things. So Prabhupada said that our Grihasthas, they're just as good as sannyasis. And even in Gita Purport, Prabhupada writes that one who is a Grihastha, but he engages or he works, he may be working in a factory, Prabhupada said, whatever. But if he gives all the money for Krishna consciousness, then as good as a sannyasi. So Grihastha can be as good as a sannyasi, that he should aim for. Sannyasi shouldn't try to be like a Grihastha. Not round the other way. If you use the logic that, well, Grihastha should be like sannyasis, therefore sannyasi should also be like Grihasthas. No, it shouldn't. Not like that. Why a Grihastha should try to be like a sannyasi? Because sannyasi is supposed to be renounced, absorbed in Krishna, thinking of the good of others. This is sannyas dharma. So one, upon taking sannyas, one shouldn't think, well, now I need a nice room, the best... Wait a minute, I just shifted to another room. Well, I better be careful here what I'm saying. I need good room with all best furnishings. That you may have also. See, Prabhupada, if you see his quarters in different parts of the world, very opulent. Prabhupada, very opulent. You see Bhaktivedanta Manor, very opulent room in a big mansion. There Prabhupada, so many big people of the material world are invited to see him. Different lords, members of the Houses of Parliament, famous authors, so many big household names of British society used to visit Prabhupada in those quarters. So maybe if Prabhupada was living just in some little hut, they may not have come to see. But when they're invited, come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. This is the picture. Oh yes, I will come to see Lord Brockway and that Graham Hill, Donovan, the famous singer, George Harrison, more famous singer. So many famous people used to come and see Prabhupada there. So sannyasi, he may also be like, but just like Prabhupada said, he once said that Krishna has given me so many opulent rooms to stay in all over the world, but I don't stay in any of them. Doesn't stay. He's always moving. Sannyasi is mahat vichalanam. Vichalanam means always moving. It also means disturbance, doesn't it? Another means is man vichalitogya. My mind is disturbed. So sannyasi, he's also disturbing others. That's it said that duty of a preacher is to comfort those who are disturbed and disturb those who are comfortable. Someone's feeling distressed, never mind. Krishna will look after you, have faith in Krishna. And someone's very comfortable, I have no problem, everything is very nice. Bhava manda kai pari hari chintahin nahi bhavi edeho chariya konodin. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given the picture of someone who says, no problem, I have no problem, no problem. Very nicely, or sometimes not so nicely, I eat, I see, I go here and there, I see this and that. I dressed in different kinds of clothes, no problem, but I never think I'm going to die someday. So, someone who's very comfortable, the sannyasi should disturb. Just like this Graham Hill, I was saying, this famous racing driver went to see Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was talking with him, asking about the racing and how you're driving and this and that. And Graham Hill was, everyone likes to talk about themselves. So then Prabhupada asked, well, isn't it very dangerous? Yes. You could die at any time? Yes. Then Prabhupada started preaching, actually, like this. And he did. He met the fate of so many racing car drivers. He died in a racing car crash. Not that many racing car drivers die in their beds. They mostly die burned up in a racing car accident. So that is the duty of sadhus, to go from place to place and enlighten people. They may live very comfortably, they may not. That is sadhu. He accepts whatever situation is there. One day he may be in very opulent surroundings, next day no surroundings, he may be sleeping in a field. Jhana means no, just in a field like that. Different kind of situations. Some places sadhu may go, everyone is very respectful and receives very nice. Another place, they don't care, or they may curse you. So he has to go, move from place to place. The sadhu, sannyasi, generally can't stay very long in any place anywhere. Prabhupada described that Daksha, he cursed Narad Muni because Narad Muni upset him by preaching to all his sons and making them all into sannyasis. So Daksha cursed him, the worst possible curse he could give. You can't stay in any place for more than 3 days. That means if you can't stay in any place for more than 3 days, then you can't have any home, wife, children, any such thing. For Narad Muni, he lives like that anyway. You find Narad Muni, one time he's coming to Vyasa's ashram, another time he's going to see Dhruva Maharaj, another time there's one snake became his disciple, he goes from time to time to visit. How are you doing? So Narad Muni thought, well, it's a very good curse, no more than 3 days in one place. So Prabhupada described that we have inherited this curse in disciplic succession. The parents of my disciples, they are the present day representatives of Daksha. They don't like I'm taking their sons and taking them away from their nice comfortable homes and making them into tyagis. So we're inheriting this curse. We can't stay more than 3 days. So that's good. It's good for a sannyasi. He can travel and preach. Of course, Narad Muni, he also sat down for some time when he was doing his writing. He went to Vrindavan, which is beyond the curse ability. It's not in the material world, it's spiritual world. So that curse didn't work there. So he sat down for some time to write his Narad Pancharatra. And when he finished writing, off again, traveling. So that is the sannyasi life, to go from place to place. Once one sannyasi wrote to Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada, I'm having so many difficulties. Wherever I go, they only give me a visa for a few days. I have to go from country to country. I can't stay in any country for more than a few days. Prabhupada wrote back and said, that's very good, then you can spread your mercy to more places. So that's the life of a sannyasi. And for Grihastha, he has different dharma, stay in one place. That Chanakya Pandit says, he is a happy man from the material point of view who doesn't have to travel. Who eats his meal in his own home. He doesn't have to go here and there. Simply stays at home. And then happy means he's enjoying his samsara sukh. If you're all the time traveling here and there, then where's the material happiness? So that's one of the conditions of material happiness. Of course, your wife should be agreeable also, because if she's not agreeable, you may want to travel. That he also says. What is that verse? I don't know that one. But, Mata yasya grihe nasti. Then, apriyavadinam. Striya apriyavadinam. Aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam tatagriham. If your wife, if your mother is already, if your mother's not in your home, and your wife is disagreeable, apriyavadinam, she henpecks you, speaks unpleasant things, then according to Chanakya, you might as well go to the forest. Take sannyas. Aranyam tena gantavyam. Because you may think, well, the forest is very uncomfortable, it's not very pleasant. But he says, yataram, yataram yam tata griham. The forest may be unpleasant, the home is also unpleasant, so what's the difference? At least in the forest you can do some sadhana. At home you're just going to watch TV. So what's the benefit? Might as well take sannyas. This is, some people have rationalized this. They say, well, Chanakya Pandit, his wife wasn't very nice, so it's only him. He's got a, what is that, a bitter taste in his mouth. What's that called? Sour grapes. Maybe. Prabhupada quoted him. Well, you could say Prabhupada also had a bad experience in his home life. See, he doesn't really know what it's like to have a nice wife and all this kind of thing. But, well, nice wife, yes, that's also nice, but at the time of death, you have, however nice your wife is, at the time of death, you have to think of Krishna. However nice your husband is, you have to think of Krishna. Of course, if you think of your husband, great devotee of Krishna, and if your husband's going to Krishna, then you can also go to Krishna. But the real point is, we have to think of Krishna. So, if we don't think of Krishna, if we're only thinking of pounds, shillings, pence, and that's called Dina Chetasa. Fallen consciousness. So, high consciousness means Krishna consciousness. That we should cultivate. Gagamuni is very kindly coming to perform the name-giving ceremony, but also to uplift the Dina Chetasa. He does that. Of course, he knows that Nanda Maharaj, even though Nanda Maharaj is offering respects to Gagamuni, Gagamuni knows that actually Nanda Maharaj, he's more exalted than me because he's the father of Krishna. But that at least is the culture. Even if one is highly advanced, we follow all these things. Even if it may be that a householder is highly advanced and a sannyasi who comes to him is less advanced, but still he treats with all respect. Just like Ambarish Maharaj received Durvasa Muni with all respect. Later Durvasa was to find out how Ambarish is actually more advanced than him, even though Ambarish is a grihastha, a kshatriya, a king. Kings are generally, Durvasa Muni may be there, I'm doing him a great favor. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a sannyasi. He wouldn't even see a king. He refused. So Durvasa may have thought, well, I'm doing a great favor to Ambarish. But later he was to find out, actually Ambarish is more advanced than me in spiritual consciousness. But even though Ambarish is more advanced in spiritual consciousness, he doesn't say, hey, here, you think you're a big sannyasi, I'm more advanced than you, you're just a fly. He doesn't say like that. He receives him very respectfully and asks for his blessing. You see, you can even, someone may be more advanced, but that is his advancement. He'll be asking the blessings of someone who is even less advanced. He's thinking, I'm less advanced. It's described that Kalidas, the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, is a very advanced devotee. He got mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that other devotees didn't get. Because he was so humble, he liked to take the food remnants of every devotee, even their neophyte devotee, he liked to take the food remnants. So as a result, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him to do something which he never allowed anyone else, which was to take the water which was used for washing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. Every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Jagannath temple and just he would wash his feet from the water pot in the drain in front of the temple. So it was forbidden. His servant was there, Govinda. He was, so that Govinda had to stop. Anyone wants to take the water, not allowed. But Kalidas just came right there. One, two, three times. Okay, that's enough. I allowed that. I didn't. No one else was. He allowed that. No one else was allowed. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew he had great faith in Vaishnava. And even if someone was neophyte, what someone else may consider neophyte, he thought, this person is chanting Hare Krishna, I want to get his mercy. And even by tricks, he used to take the food remnant. Hare Krishna. Any question?
Are Sundas and Vilomandas?
Are what?
Surdas.
Yes.
And Billamangal Thakur.
Ah.
One and the same person?
I don't think so, no.
Because the same pastimes are narrated.
Similar pastimes. But it's not necessarily the same for a blind and Krishna coming like that. But no, I don't think they're the same. It's just like sometimes we see Krishna, his childhood, and Jesus. It's very similar. Similar means they were born in one place, and then the king wanted to kill all the young children, so he was taken away by hiding. So it doesn't mean that Jesus and the Christians, some people say that the Krishna story is based on the New Testament, on the story of Jesus. Maybe similar, but not the same.
Because of one other pastime.
I don't think so, because Surdas was mostly like Hindi or something similar to Hindi, writing like that. But Bilva Mangal, he was writing in Sanskrit, and he was before Suradas also. Chronologically, he was before that. So it appears not to be the same. This is the stuff of research scholars. They can work it out. Suradas was when? He was around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, isn't it? Maybe around the same time. But Bilva Mangal was before that. Yeah. At that time, throughout India, there was a popular explosion of bhakti. There were different people in different places who were bringing bhakti to the masses, like Surdas also, on this side of India. Meera also. Their songs, Surdas's songs, Meera's songs, have been very influential in bringing bhakti to the masses, the mood of bhakti. What time was Narasimha Mehta? What period? Must have been a little later, huh? Later than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think. He's also
about 200 years before.
Before what? Before today? Before
1700.
Yeah, he was later. So he's another devotee who has, by his influences, has been very influential in bringing the bhakti bhavana to the masses. Said to be the avatar of Muchukunda Raja. So we're told, according to popular belief. It may be. Why not? In Madhva Sampradaya, that Raghavendra Swami is said to be an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Like that. Why not? Great devotees, they come. They do something for uplifting the people. Undoubtedly, someone very influential like that in spreading Krishna Bhakti, like Narasimha Mehta, then he's a great personality, no doubt. Not an ordinary person.
Did Mirabai become a Mayavadi
in the last phase of her life? I have no idea. I'm sorry, I haven't. Maybe you can research it and find out and let me know. In general, you see, in our Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we're not very fond of Mira, because her song, she's calling. I don't know how it's said in the original, but it's popular in Bengali, translated in Bengali. Esho Esho Giridhari. Come here, Giridhari. We don't like that very much. Because one thing, we want to serve Giridhari, not you, come here, come here. Another thing is, her mood is, I will enjoy, I want to be with Giridhari. But Gaurya Vaishnavism means, we become the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani, and she will go with Giridhari, not that I will personally go with Giridhari. So her mood is like Chandravali Bhav. I will enjoy personally with Krishna. But in Gaurya Vaishnava means, Gaurya means they are the servants of the servants of Radha. So this mood that come here, she's a great devotee, no doubt. But we don't like her mood. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.